systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman, the international forecaster. Bob, how are you today?
Well, I'm pretty good. Don't have a complaint in the world.
All right, fine. Well, you obviously then aren't invested in the stock market.
That's correct. I am not invested in the stock market.
All right. Are you still short on some of those financial?
Oh, yes. We've got a long way to go on the downside, both in stocks collectively, and the leader to the downside will be the financials.
What about General Electric? Do you think that what's going to happen to them? Are they going to survive this?
Yeah, they'll survive. They're one of the top aluminum companies, so that they will find a way to spare them. And they've already received loans from the government. The government bought their commercial paper. They complained they couldn't sell it in the market. They were probably offering as collateral some of this toxic junk, and that's why the market doesn't want to accept their paper. And so the stock's just come down from 35 to, I don't know what, 13?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll survive, but only because they're part of the aluminum structure.
And that, I have that same impression about General Motors. Certainly they have they're opening up plants all throughout the rest of the world as they're shifting their manufacturing facilities away from America to China and Brazil and Mexico and certainly elsewhere. And so the average individual doesn't understand that there is an organized effort to move our industries offshore so they can impoverish the American people and create the same sort of chaos here that they're creating in Mexico today.
Well, that's true, and it's a simple way to stop that. All they have to do is legislate the imposition of tariffs on goods and services, and then all of those companies that moved offshore to use the slave labor that's available, there's going to be no further advantage to being there.
Well, because they don't have
any, they will come back.
Well, because they don't have to pay any taxes overseas. Maybe we ought to tax them if they're American corporations. But I don't think they're going to do that. Do you honestly believe they're going to put tariffs back on? I mean, as long as the people from the Trilateral Commission, dedicated globalists, control successive administrations as they have with every administration, control the Federal Reserve, control the World Bank, and control the presidency, do you really think that we're going to do what's logical and right for America?
No, but they may get forced to do it, because there are a number of nations, starting with China and Russia and Brazil and others, who are starting to put the tariffs on goods.
Because that's
and,
one thing.
I think it's going to spread because they're all trying to lower the value of their currency so that their goods will be competitive for other markets, particularly America and Europe. And, you know, when you've got right now about 15% unemployment, and you will probably have over 30% within a year to 2 years, there's going to be a lot of people who are on the street saying, you know, bring those jobs back, or we're going to do something about changing the government.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman right here at the Radio Liberty Network. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And the sky's blue today, the air is crisp, it's beginning to warm up. It is a beautiful day to live here. Well, anyway, our guest is Bob Chapman, and we're talking about what's going on financially in the world. And certainly, every time you pick up a magazine or a newspaper, you find more companies are shutting down, and even Microsoft's beginning to lay off people, and certainly all of our major manufacturers are laying off, and so many of our small businesses are closing, our stores are closing, certainly commercial property, where of course the malls are closing, some of our big department stores are closing here in the Central Coast of California, while we've lost Mervyn's, we've lost Gottschalk's, and I'm sure you must be seeing the same thing happening all across America, aren't you, Bob?
Sure are. And it's starting to happen in Europe and Canada as well. And it'll spread throughout the world. And there's nothing to stop it. And these businesses of stimulus packages, and they're not going to work because they don't attack the real problem, and that is the importation of cheap goods and creating long-term employment for Americans. And, you know, they have no plan for that. And so it's obvious that they don't want any long-term recovery. As we've discussed many times, they want a breakdown, societal breakdown, and with that, the imposition of a world currency as well as world government.
And I think
that's what they're after.
I think it's so important. People understand these things are not happening by accident. They're happening by intent. Henry Paulson had said publicly, and he'd written, the reason that we have this, you know, all the this whole economic collapse is because of the collapse of the housing market. And what we need to do is buy up the mortgages, buy up these mortgage bonds, and we could stop the whole thing. And that's why they gave him the TARP funds, the $700 billion. And then he refused to spend it. In fact, he couldn't even, you know, lend the money. He couldn't give all the money away, the $700 billion. He still had $350 billion until Obama was ready to go into the White House. But he still wouldn't do what was logical to try to stop the cascade of collapse of the housing market. So it's obvious that they want this whole thing to go on, that they're not doing any of the logical things that could have been done early on. In fact, they've done everything illogical, cutting off small business loans, having the Fed pay interest so they could soak up so much of the loan material, so there was just the lending pool was just gone and the Fed had it all. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were just talking about Chapman about how they've engineered this whole thing, and until people understand that you have groups, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness, Council on Foreign Relations, Bilderberger, Trilateral Commission, they all work together, and they're working as a whole to destroy the economy of our country, and that's why they've shipped our manufacturing overseas. That's why they precipitated this economic crisis. That's why people are losing their homes. And, of course, once you start this cascade of events, why, there's just no way to stop it until it gets to the bottom. And even if they intervene now, you know, in the markets, why, they wouldn't stop it unless we were to do what was logical, and that would be put on tariffs and force the industries back home. But they don't want to preserve America. Did you read that article I sent you, the link to Henry Kissinger's article, Bob?
Oh, I put it in the Sad the issue of the international forecaster.
I know. As a matter of fact, I read it there and I smiled that I was so glad to see you got that out, because that information is so vitally important. Henry Kissinger is telling them what it's all about. There's going to be chaos and fragmentation and the destruction of the whole economy of the whole world. And the solution.
Unless you do what we want you to do.
Unless you do what we want you to do, that's right. Everybody's
and bring on the chaos.
And the fact he would talk about how nations are going to fragment, how there's going to be chaos, unless we do what the elite wants us to do. It's a great article, I thought.
Yeah, they do what they want. Look at this Geithner approval by the Senate, 60 to 34. And the guy is an admitted a tax cheat. And he's trying to tell us that he wants the Secretary of the Treasury job, but he doesn't know how to do his taxes.
And of course, he's going to be in charge of the IRS, and anyone, the rest of us...
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
But you see, they have
two... It shows you how out of control things are.
Well, you have two sets of rules, one for the elite, and he is part of the elite. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30. He is, of course, was president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York City. He's one of the elite. He doesn't have to pay his taxes. He wouldn't have, of course, if they hadn't, somebody had brought this out during the hearings. So he reluctantly paid his taxes. Oh, shucks, I'm just so stupid and incompetent. That's why you should select me as Secretary of the Treasury. I mean, how gullible do you think the American people are? And I guess they're pretty gullible.
Well, they probably haven't even followed the thing. And, you know, they just don't have any interest. They don't care.
Well, they're going to care when they lose their job and when they lose their home and when they lose their pension fund, when they lose their insurance policy and they destroy the value of our currency. They're going to care a lot, Bob. It may take a little while, but I think everybody is going to be badly hurt or destroyed, you know, in the coming months and years.
Well, just go back to the 1930s. And the situation today is far, far worse, without going into detail, than it was then. And the value of things went down between 60 and 90%. And so it'll probably be worse than that this time. And these people just don't know what lies ahead because there's very few people alive who experienced that last depression. And there are only a handful of people around who remember it by being told about it by people who lived through it. People like you and I. And so they don't have... It's an abstract to people. It can never happen here. It's not going to happen now. And, you know, it's going to go away. They'll fix it. And, of course, it's not going to be that way. And so half the population is ignorant. They can't read or write. They're just dumb. And then the other half of the population gets some kind of idea of what's going on. And maybe 15% figure there's something dramatically wrong. And there's probably 5% who really understand what the problem is. And one of the problems with radio and television is they're not allowed to come out with the truth. And even the newsletter writers, most of them will not tackle the subjects that they should be and telling the people about the truth and why things are happening. They want to be accepted, and they don't want the government on their back. And that's why the public, in part, is not getting the news. And the only thing that's going to wake these people up is having them on the street, no place to go, no place to live, not even a car to live in, that's been repossessed. And there's going to be a lot of very, very angry people. And if these insiders think that they can control the people in America... Never happened.
Well,
I go down to defeat this time, and this time it's going to be woefully difficult for them.
Well, we know, for instance, that the government over in Iceland has collapsed. We know that there are massive demonstrations regularly over in Greece. We know the demonstrations in Lithuania and Latvia now all related to this financial collapse in their system. We know that there are all sorts of demonstrations over in communist China, where they today have at least 10 million people who have been working in the factories are all out of work. But we're going to see that here before very long, I fear.
Well, China's debt is a big problem as well. And, they have so much work in progress. They're going to have to do some selling of their U.S. dollar assets. I don't see how they can get around it. And, they got this project going for $648 billion. They hold about $800 billion in treasuries and probably about... I don't know what that number is.
Well, I think the figure is probably about another $500 billion in
total
bonds,
figure.
Things like that, Freddie Mac.
They're holding at least $1 trillion in U.S. denominated paper. And that's going to come through sooner or later. I don't think they can avoid that. And any growth less than 8% of GDP sends riots berserk. And they just reported 6.8 for the fourth quarter, and they're probably lying. And I would say next year, 2009, I think we're probably looking at a net of probably around 5.5% that they'll admit to. Well, they're going to have half the country up in arms.
Well, it was very interesting. They had a program on 60 Minutes last night about some town out in the Midwest where DHL, the carrier, had pulled out, and about a third of the people were unemployed. And they were saying, they admitted that, about 7.2% are unemployed. But if you look at the underemployed, the people who've either had to take a drastic cut in their hours or maybe only working half-time, that gets up to 13%. And then, of course, if you get the people who just aren't looking for work anymore or gotten discouraged, you're getting up to 16 or 17%. Why, they sounded just like Bob Chapman.
Well, saints preserve us.
I was really surprised it came out on 60 Minutes. It was a very powerful program, and you couldn't help but get tears in your eyes. You thought of all these people losing their homes and losing everything, pulling their kids out of school. But, of course, this is all contrived by these elitists, these wealthy elitists who want to bring pain and suffering to our country to force us into their system of world government. And they're doing the same thing to the whole world. And I think that the average American doesn't understand that the economic contraction is worldwide. I think England's having a lot of problems, aren't they, Bob?
Well, I think England is right on the edge of bankruptcy. I mean, the whole country. And it's just a question of how long. And we can get a lot of intelligence from watching England because we'll take the same path. And when you see England say, we're insolvent, we're going to have to devalue the pound, we're going to have to do this and that. When you see that, you'll know that we're probably 6 months behind. And let's see how long they can stave it off. But, the U.S. is on the same track, and they might, from what they've said, the intonation is that when all these countries are on the verge of bankruptcy, what'll probably happen is these international elitists who control these governments, many, many of them, they'll say, well, we're going to have a devaluation all at the same time. And so everybody defaults, everybody devalues, and they create a new international unit, and then they've got revolution throughout the entire world. And I wouldn't want to be them when the revolutions start, because people know who they are. They know what they're doing. They're going to exterminate them.
Well, I think it's really difficult for the average American to realize that the United States is bankrupt. It's bankrupt morally. It certainly ought to be pretty obvious from what we're doing as far as marriage and homosexuality and abortion. But we're bankrupt fiscally as well, and certainly we're having to borrow several billion dollars every day. They're talking about a Well, they're talking about a $1.2 trillion debt this next this coming year, 2009. But I think it's going to be closer to $2 trillion. What are your thoughts, Bob? I mean, where's the money going to come from?
I projected some time ago 1.3.
Right.
But I'm seeing estimates of 2. So it's 1.3 plus.
But basically, and of course, you have to then include this new stimulus package. They're talking about $850
billion. No, that won't include that. If you throw that in, maybe it's $3 trillion. I mean, the numbers are colossal.
And where's the
money? American public doesn't care.
But, of course, the thing is that where's the money come from? Nobody ever asks where it comes from. And how soon will we be like it is in Zimbabwe today? People say it couldn't happen here, and I ask, why not? If you want to destroy a nation, you know a better way to do it than what we're doing. And when you turn against God, God eventually turns against the nation. Well, Bob, certainly where things are going, and they're going, and really things at the tempo of the collapse, I think for almost, 560,000 people lost their jobs in December? What are those figures, right, like?
They're underestimated for the year by 50%. The unemployment is colossal, and the underemployment is just as bad.
But of course,
you were talking about Zimbabwe. And the last person I talked to there was a friend of mine who was a South African. And, I told him that the British were going to sell out the country. And it happened 7 years after I left. But he said what you just said. He said, Bob, it can happen here. And I said, oh, yes, it can. And they said, well, the U.N. troops will come in and save us. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, the U.N. troops will come in and shoot you. And so they had a civil war. And finally there was the brokering of an agreement which put a communist monster into power. And that's all to do with the United States and Great Britain. And they allowed Mugabe to take the country down to oblivion, and millions of people are dying, and the same will happen to South Africa. And they're very happy about that because these people are at the lower end of the human chain, and they would like nothing more than for 80% of them to die, maybe all of them. And so that's why they did what they did.
It's very interesting. The average lifespan for a male in South Africa today used to be 64. It's down around, I think, 36 or 37. And it's even less for women. Here, of course, the lifespan for the average woman is higher than the United States, but here it is much lower. We're going to go ahead and take some calls. Well, we'll go ahead and take calls if somebody wants to come on and talk to Bob about what's going on. And I think it's very, very important that people understand that America could be going the same way as Rhodesia. I hope it doesn't. I hope and pray that it doesn't. But there is the United States State Department that brought Mugabe to power. It is the United States State Department that has kept this ruthless tyrant in power. And if we've kept him in power over there and let him destroy the people, half the people have fled from Zimbabwe today. I mean, half the population's gone. We only had 11.5 million. I think probably at least 5 million have gone, and maybe more than that by now. And the people are starving, and of course there's no medical supplies, there's no food. I mean, I don't know even how the people are managing to eke out a living. Do you, Bob?
No, I don't. And they have to contend with the military, which are monstrous. And, water was always a problem there because of Bilharzia. And all the white farmers are now gone. And the Africans were, good workers, but they didn't have the acumen to run a farm for the most part. And so the great exporter of food, Rhodesia, is defunct, and now we have a great importer of food called Zimbabwe. And if you don't have any money, you can't buy any food.
But of course, money is worthless. They have a new $50 trillion note, and I wonder how soon that could happen. Here, we'll be right back in just a moment with Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman. And we'll go ahead. We've got a couple of callers. And so we'll take Ernie from calling from Spokane. Hi, Ernie. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. I'm doing fine.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, first of all, I just want to make a quick statement. I want to congratulate you both. I believe you guys are brave men, you and Bob. Not afraid to tell the truth in a world that we live in that truth is irrelevant to our leaders, and it's refreshing to hear this on the radio.
Well, we appreciate your words of encouragement. Your job is to get people listening to us and helping us and supporting us and getting Bob's newsletter and helping Radio Liberty so we can expand into other markets. When people hear the truth, they recognize that they know something's wrong. But, of course, you can get us on the Internet, shortwave, you can get us on satellite. But anyway, do you have a question for Bob?
Well, the only question I have is I have so many people in the business. I'm in the asphalt business, and they are saying, oh, we're going to have a big booming year this year because of the stimulus package going in. I realize when they do stimulus things like this, it can grow the economy for a short period of time. I want to know if you or Bob have an answer. Yeah. What kind of a forecast do you see of a growing of the economy before we start getting into a dip again?
All right, I think that's a very legitimate question. What do you think, Bob?
Most of the money to be spent is not in construction. I think the figure's around 8%, and that's going to be spread over quite a period of time. And so I think that in all probability, any psychological or physical boost that is gotten will probably extend until perhaps September or October, and maybe not even that long. When you have an economy of this size, like the United States, $825 billion is not a lot of money.
Correct.
And, you know, the previous $168 billion was a spit in the ocean. And and they're not solving the underlying unemployment problem. They're making more temporary jobs to make the hurt go away for the time being. And it's just not going to work. And there's so many aspects of this thing that are faulty. And if you look back at what FDR did, which is the model that they're trying to follow, you'll find that in 1939 unemployment was 17.2%. And in 1940, it was 16.4%. Those figures are in the international forecaster, which came out Sandy. I think they're correct, but it's close to where I said they were. And we're almost up to that level now. And that was after the U.S. government increased spending by 45%. So if spending was increased 45% in America, and we'd get the same results, and $825 billion is not 45%. So they have no intention of fixing anything. It's another charade, and they have no intention of bailing out the financial houses. They just want to consolidate them, and the Fed owns them all, and then they can implement their world regulations for finance, and then have their devaluation and default and new world currency. And that's the path that they're taking.
I have a feeling that they're just trying to make the American people think that they're doing something, you know, and that, my goodness, Henry Paulson's doing this, that, or the other thing, and none of them are effective. You look at the figures that are coming out, and there are more and more homes being foreclosed upon, and more people are losing their jobs, and more people, of course, are losing their insurance, but they can't let the American people know that they are intentionally going to destroy this infrastructure of our nation. Now, as far as asphalt is concerned, my concern is that it takes a long time before you can plan on building a road. Certainly, you or I could order asphalting our road tomorrow, you know, but when it comes to a government project, you know, unless maybe it's they give the money to the local city, I don't think there's going to be any tremendous number of new jobs and for at least 6 months to maybe a year or a year and a half before these major highway productions get under control. So I think that they want to give everybody the false hope we're from the government, we're here to help, and those are the most frightening words you could ever hear. Anything else, Ernie?
No, I just want to thank you, gentlemen, again. I'll call back some other day.
All right, God bless, and thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Ernie calling, and we'll put out our telephone number. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Dan calling from Pennsylvania. We'll talk to Dan. And then if you're out across the country, well, we'll be glad to take your calls. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Dan calling us from Pennsylvania. Dan, go right ahead.
How you doing there, Stan?
Doing just fine.
This is really interesting. Your last hour's guest and Bob Chapman, who I always appreciate. Bob, you said something, and you were talking to Alex Jones, I believe it was last Thursday, and you said something that really, really rattled me to my shoes, and I've been thinking about it. You didn't have a chance to explain it. You mentioned Americans are a race of their own. Can you elaborate on that? Because it seems like a very hopeful topic.
Well, I think that I think I was speaking about that in relation to the movement, the Bilderbergers and CFR and these people who want to bring about world government, and I think they're underestimating the warrior potentials and the stiffening of the spine of the average American, even the dumb ones.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's propelled as well by unemployment and loss of things, everything in some cases. And these people have really underestimated what's going to happen. It's not only in America, it's in Europe, because they've already started. And you're going to see it in all over the world in countries that have had problems with their governments previously because they're following the dictates of the United States and Europe, particularly in the United States and Great Britain. And I think that these people, in their underestimation of this, we'll call them a race of Americans, they're going to get themselves wiped out.
So they haven't tested the full will of the American people? Is that what you're alluding to?
Right, and that the only time that has really happened is during the Revolutionary War and then the Civil War.
Yes.
And every other war since then has been foreign in nature. And
yes, that's
they
true.
Are so anxious to get this world government that they'll do anything to get it.
Well, we're the best armed people in the world right now, as it goes.
And that's not going to change, even if they try to collect them.
People cannot, of course, fight against fighter planes and bombers and missiles and all of these things, and other these sophisticated weapons that have been bought by our tax money. But the question is, you know, will the American people, will the military and the police abide by the Constitution, or will they go along with our unelected rulers, the people from the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations who hate America and certainly hate our Constitution? We'll be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. And certainly, our guest this afternoon, Bob Chapman. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Dan, do you have anything else to say before we let you go?
Yeah, I have one thing to say. You know, the Korean War and the Vietnam War was not won. Those people, and of course, I know there's political and Illuminati influence in there, but that is nothing about the defeat that's going to happen when we are here, the American people. And, Bob, I really take solace and you know, confidence in what you said. That should be a cry, you know, that Americans, and now we're not talking about just black Americans, we're not talking just about Asian Americans, whatever. We're talking Americans, right? Everybody.
People have come here because they wanted to be free, and there are people who want to take that freedom away. And these are subversive organizations that today control the Obama administration. At least 10 key people are there, members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Heaven, there's only 120 of them in the whole country.
Yeah.
And there are probably going to be a lot more before this is over. Anyway, God bless you. Thanks
okay,
so much
thank
for
you,
calling,
Sam.
Dan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What we've got to do is begin pointing out that the agenda of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergers and the Group of 30 is a subversive agenda, and these people should be tried for subversion in our country. They are intent upon destroying the constitutional guarantees of our freedom, and there are 10 people in the Obama administration right at the present time, Chief of Intelligence, National Security Advisor, Deputy National Security Advisor, Ambassador to the United Nations, Chief Economic Advisor Paul Volcker, Secretary of the Treasury, of course, Timothy Geithner, and then, of course, Deputy Secretary of State John Steinberg, and Richard Haass, who are going to be in the State Department, and two others in the State Department, all come. There are only 120 people in the Council on and the Trilateral Commission, and at least 10 are already in the administration. And nobody's telling you that. Do you think that happened just by accident? Of course not. According to Barry Goldwater, they set out in 1973 to seize control of our government. They have a subversive unit is working on our government who's dedicated to destroying our economy, to bringing the whole world into this one world government. Well, let's go to George, who's calling from Toronto, Canada. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, before we go to George, you hang on there, Bob. I get so wound up talking to you. I forget to have you get out your website and tell people how they can get a copy of the International Forecaster.
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually around 35 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet, and that goes out by mail. If you would like a free introductory copy, you can go to any one of these three places. Our site, theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. You can email us at international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com, or you can call toll free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Okay, let's go to George calling from Toronto, Canada. Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm great, Dr. Stan. How are you?
Doing just great. Is it a little cold up there?
Oh, yes, it certainly is. There's lots of snow here, too.
All right, fine. Well, I won't tell you what it's like here overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay today, but you go ahead and tell me.
Sure, rub it in, Dr. Stan.
Oh, listen, somebody's got to live there in Toronto and shovel all that snow. What can we do for you? Do you have a question for us?
Well, yeah, I want to say to Bob, you know, Bob, they're having a stimulus package up here in Canada with a budget tomorrow. And it's already been leaked out that it'd be $64 billion over the next 2 years. And it sounds like they're going to try and divvy it up three ways, with the federal government, provincial, and municipal governments picking up the tab for some of these infrastructure projects and such that they're planning. So I guess we're looking at the same type of situation you are in the States. And also, do you think the Illuminati extends itself into the municipal politics?
Only from the top down. But there's a possibility that they have people in those kind of positions. That's how they get in positions. They, let it be known that they espouse the same kind of line, particularly in Canada. Canada is essentially a two-party country, and you know, the same old dogs come out and run for election all the time. And the same thing in the United States. So they've got the same problems, and they're trying to do the same thing. We're seeing stimulus packages in Europe and in Mexico, and you will see them everywhere, and they'll be unsuccessful. And the people who are planning these things, they know that. This is just to keep the palliative in place until they're ready to really pull the plug. And they'll be ready to do that once they've accomplished some of the things I've said earlier in the program.
So that means there'll be massive inflation in all these different countries that are having these stimulus packages in.
That's correct. And then eventually that'll be followed by deflation and depression in a form that's readily recognizable. I believe we've started depression already, but I look at it from a macro economic viewpoint, and I put a lot of things together, but they pulled a couple of linchpins out here, and I think we've started into depression. And, you know, 2 years ago, when I said this is the beginning of recession, nobody agreed. And then a year ago, a few economists, Shiller and Labini and a few others, said, yes, we are in a recession. And the government discovered it last month, a little late to the party.
In fact, they finally said, you know, it really started December of 2007. It's been around for a long time. How could they not see what was going on? But they know what's
going
on.
How about all the other economists and analysts as well? They've kept their mouths shut, because if they don't, they lose their job.
Right, and of course, the thing is, it is just like what they're doing today. It's a lot of busy work. It's like the doctor used to do if he was going to deliver a baby at home. He'd send everybody out to boil water. Why do they boil water? To keep people busy, you know. Not that it was going to do anything very important, but they had to get people doing something. So they're giving the public the impression they're really trying to do something. They're going to have all these spending projects. They know they're not going to work, because, of course, they haven't worked over in Japan. They've been trying to get their economy going there for, 18 years now? And they keep pouring more and more and more money, but it just doesn't work. And until you get back to a gold-backed currency, until you get the government out of it, until you have a free society, things are going to continue getting worse and worse and worse. And I fear that before this is over, they're going to destroy the value of our currency. They're going to, of course, to impoverish our people. And of course, in the process, the pension funds will go, the insurance policies will go, the investments in bonds and everything else will be destroyed. They know what they're doing. But they've got to give you the impression they're going to do something great for us, and they're really not. What they want to do is destroy us and then force the whole world into the one world government. And if you haven't read Henry Kissinger's article, January 12th, International Herald Tribune, get it, read it, understand. He tells you exactly what's going to happen. Chaos. Those are his words, not mine. Let's go to Mike, who's called. Oh, George, have anything else you want to say? I guess we lost George. Let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. You have a question or comment?
A little of both.
All right. Let me get our telephone number out one more time. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then go right ahead, Mike.
Well, I've been thinking that these stimulus packages and bailouts are nothing more than a big smokescreen for the central banks to loan more money or actually extend more phony credit to the Treasury. That's all it is. That's all they're after, is to get us more and more in debt. And then that credit gets used to build infrastructure, which they're going to just take back in the end after the whole thing falls apart and nothing can get paid back to the central banks. They'll start taking national resources and infrastructure, whether it's the United States or any other country. What do you think, Bob?
I think you're right. Could come out that way.
It just seems to be their bottom line, long-term goal. That's all they're after.
And we're seeing the greatest transfer of wealth that's ever recorded in human history. I mean, Ben Bernanke and Paulson have given away $2 trillion. I think it's primarily from the Federal Reserve. $2 trillion. They won't tell anybody where it's gone. If you read the second report of the Congressional Oversight Panel, was appointed to find out how the TARP funds were spent. I think that came out about the 8th or 10th of June. Anyway, you can get it on the Internet, 8th of January, as I should say. Well, the Treasury Department won't tell Congress, the Congressional Panel, where the TARP funds went. They won't tell them how they were spent, how this was going to help our economy. They're not trying to help our economy. Get that report, you almost want to weep. And as they say, I mean, we are very concerned because they won't answer our questions. Why won't the United States Treasury tell the United States Congress what they've done with all this money? Because they don't want to know the public to know that they're not trying to stop the crisis. Anything else, Mike?
Well, we had this new story that came out today with Pfizer buying this right now, about this Wyeth pharmaceutical, and they're being funded by these four other banks that were given TARP money.
Right.
I can tell you the names of them in just a second.
Or it doesn't matter. We take your word for it. Do you know anything about that, Bob?
Yes, I saw the buyout, but I didn't know the money was drug money.
It's a $60 billion merger by Pfizer buying Wyeth, and Pfizer's bid, it says here, is being financed by four banks that received federal bailout money: Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Bank of America. It seems to me like the chickens have come home to roost.
Basically, they all took bailout money, so I don't know what they're talking about. They all took. I mean, certainly. I know the Bank of America took bailout money. I know the Goldman Sachs took bailout money. I know the J.P. Morgan say so. I don't think they tell us the truth.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mike?
All we can do is go on what they say, whether it's the truth or not.
Right, but we have to have a memory, and that's God gave us a memory, and we can remember what happened in the past. But basically, of course, what you're really seeing is consolidation of power in very few hands. And go back and read Edward Bellamy's book, Looking Backwards, written in the 1880s. And he said everything was going to be consolidated until we had the great corporation that controlled everything. And he also said in 1880, looking forward to the year 2000, and a credit card will be just as good in Europe as gold once was. And that's just what's happened. Hey, we're out of time. Anything else, Mike?
That's all. Thanks a lot.
God bless. Let's go to George calling from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Hi, George. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thank you, Stan and Bob. I just had a question on houses, buying a house. We're leasing a house. We have been for 2 years. Wondering how much longer before we should actually buy one.
Well, every area is going to be different, but an absolute minimum of 2 years.
Two more.
Right, and it could be a lot longer than that.
Yeah, because you say we're going into a stage. First, they're going to go to inflation, then they're going to hit a severe deflation. Is that when you purchase it during the deflation?
Right.
Right. And,
okay.
You know, a $700,000 house might be available for $200,000. I mean, who knows?
Right.
But the thing is, get your money into gold and silver. Don't leave it in the bank because you don't even know what's going to happen in the banks.
Right.
An awful lot of them are insolvent. An awful lot of banks just came out with an announcement they're losing money. It's rather scary when you see so many of the good banks, small banks, losing money.
Right. I don't have any left in the bank.
Okay, very good.
Thank you so much.
God bless. Let's go to Steve calling from Pennsylvania. Steve, how you doing?
Okay, real good, Dr. Stan, and hi, Mr. Chapman. In 7 days, February 1st, 2009, down in Tampa, they'll be playing the Super Bowl. I guess Pittsburgh Steelers will be going after the sixth Super Bowl ring.
All right, fine, but they're going to have to get it away from the Arizona Cardinals, and I'm going to be rooting for them because of the quarterback there is a good Christian.
Okay. Seeing that they already had that movie out, The Sum of All Fears, wouldn't a major disruption at the Super Bowl event take our minds off the financial event and move the interest of the New World Order forward?
Well, it could sidetrack people for several days, but I don't think it'll be go beyond that.
I think that we don't know what they're up to. you know, we do know, looking back on 9/11, that it was all contrived. How do we know that? Because they lied to about us. That there were actually 29 hijackings that morning, at least. I mean, they were all simulated. They were having war games that morning, and so many of them involved simulated hijackings. Why haven't the American people ever heard about that? They recently declassified and allowed the testimony of 125 first responders to be had, and they all heard the explosions. They saw the explosions in the buildings. Why haven't the American people heard about that incident? You can go to Richard Gage's website. That's for 911 Truth. That's for Architects and Engineers, for 911truth.org, I think it is, or .com. AE911truth.org or com. And you can actually, get information on those first responders' statements. How could you conceal something like that from the American people? And, of course, you can conceal it because they control the media. So anything else you wanted to say there before we let you go?
Yep, thank you very much.
God bless. Let's go to Scott calling from Hollister. Hi, Scott. How are you doing? Do you have a question for Bob?
Good, Dr. Stan. Yes, Bob, I had a quick question. I tuned in late, so it might have been already been asked. But if one were to have a mortgage loan through one of the banks that was up on the block, say Bank of America or something like that, that obviously is in trouble, what suggestion would you say? Would you say that your best advice is try to refinance through a more soluble bank, or what would you suggest, sir?
Well, it doesn't make any difference who you finance to, I don't think. And so if you can get a 4.5% or 5% 30-year fixed loan, take it, because the horizon is very, very small. And the long-term rates for both the 10s and the 30-year bonds and have moved up smartly. The short end has moved up a little bit. And I'm starting to see LIBOR starting to move up, and during the course of the year, that will continue. And so interest rates are going higher. So if you thought about refinancing, do it as soon as possible.
Okay, does that answer your question, Scott?
I think so, sir. Thank you, John.
God bless you. We'll be back. Our guest has been Bob Chaffin. Well, Bob, what happened last week? We saw gold move up and move up sharply. It was up sharply this morning. It seemed to have settled back. And the silver was up very strong. Why did they move up so strongly last week, especially at the end of the week?
Well, I think that, the power of the central banks to manipulate gold prices is waning. Each time they do it, it gets more difficult. They're using mostly derivatives to do it, although occasionally we see physical selling or lease selling. But most central banks that have gold, I think at this point, really don't want to part with it. And so, and I don't know how much gold the U.S. has, maybe none. And so I think this move upward is going to be relentless. And I think this year we got a pretty good shot at 2,000, maybe even more. Which means silver probably could go up to $35 or $50, and so people who are long gold and silver should stay there. Don't try to trade it. And people who are not in, please get in. It's the only way that you're going to be able to make money to offset the losses that you're going to take on just about everything else that you own.
All right, fine. Well, do you think that gold is going to move up smartly from here, or do you think maybe it'll fall back again?
No, maybe tomorrow and the next day, because options expiration is on Wednesday, there might be some weakness, but I would use it as a buying opportunity. Gold is acting like it really wants to go higher. We have a large short position, which I haven't seen yet for this past week. Actually, the week before, we get it on Friday. And the commercial shorts are extremely large. Not as large as they were before, but they're very high. And the commercials, which are the professionals, are getting killed in here. And they got to cover their shorts, because I don't think they believe now that the price is going back down again. So you get a big floor under there because of the commercial professional short position.
All right, what do you think of Hecla as a stock? Do you think that, I know you like Agnico Eagle and Goldcorp, but what about Hecla? Is that a pretty good gold and silver play?
It's okay, but it's certainly not in my top group.
All right. So Big League, Angry Eagle and Goldcorp are your two top ones?
And then Silver Standard. I think in their categories, they're the best.
All right. Fine. Well, I appreciate your being with us, Bob. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good week.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was Bob Chapman. We'll be back here in just a moment.